Blog Talk Radio. afternoon, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. And you are currently listening to Power Lunch with Jesus and the Word. Today is Monday, March the 19th, 2012. Feeling a little under the weather today, but Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I praise him for his presence. I thank him for his forgiveness. I thank him for his love. Hallelujah. And I thank him for, hallelujah, dying on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross for my sin. Hallelujah. And not just my sin, but your sin also. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God today. Hallelujah. And I just want to welcome him to this broadcast today and invite him in and let his Holy Spirit fall on us. Hallelujah. And be in this chat room that souls will be saved, that people will be delivered, that people will be set free from bondages and yokes that destroy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Me being first partaker. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you and praise you for this day. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, our sins, oh God, for our sins and our transgressions, oh God, our iniquities, anything that we've said, done, or thought, Lord God, that was not like you, Father. We truly ask your forgiveness, and we realize, Lord God, that asking you for forgiveness, oh God, and repentance and confession, oh God, that we need to do these things from a pure heart, Lord God. That's what moves you, a pure heart, Lord God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we truly ask you to forgive us those things that we are repenting of at this moment. Lord God, we ask, oh God, that we will turn away from them completely, that we will be godly sorry for them, not just sorry because maybe somebody who's saying sorry got caught, maybe somebody who's saying sorry is just saying something to say, Lord God, because that's what they were told to do, but God, godly sorry. And we ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus, Father. And, Father, we ask for your holy anointing to be on this broadcast today. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come in and move in this broadcast today like never before, Father. In the name of Jesus, and God, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor for this today, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just want to say I thank you. I just want to say I bless your name. I just want to say I give glory to you, Father God, because you are truly worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. And, Father, as we hear this word today, we pray, oh God, that this word will fall on good ground, that people will hear this word and hear what they need to hear so that they can turn their hearts to you, Lord God, completely. Lord God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind all false teaching, Lord God. We bind all false doctrine, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just say thank you, God. I bless your holy name. I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor, God. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, this is Evangelist Teresa Scott coming to you today from Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. Hallelujah. Welcoming you to Power Lunch with Jesus and the Word. Hallelujah. Because how many of you know the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So it's not about my opinion. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I feel the Word of God is saying, but it's about strictly the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we know, hallelujah, that Jesus was the Word when he was here on earth, and people hated him because he was the Word. Hallelujah. People today do not want to hear the Word of God. People want to take the Word of God and change it to what they want it to be for their own good, so whatever it is that they're doing, they can feel good about it. People want to take the Word of God and say, you know, it doesn't take all of that, but the Word of God is the Word of God. If God allowed the Word of God by his Spirit, if God moved on men to write this Word of God, he meant for us to have this Word of God, for us to live by the Word of God, not for us to just put the Bible on the shelf and let dust collect on it or to carry it around so people can see it. But God gave us this Word so we can live this Word of God, so it can change our very lives, because we were enemies of God. We were in the flesh because when we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. But God has sent the Word of God to cleanse us, to renew us, to give us a new mind, something else that we didn't know because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. All we knew was sin. We didn't have a relationship with God. But God sent his Word so we that could know him by his Word, and his Word is Spirit, so we can know him by the Spirit. And too many people are walking around trying to know God in their mind. They're trying to know him in their natural mind. And the Bible clearly tells us that our flesh, if we're in the flesh, we're enmity, we're enemies, we're enemies, we're God's enemies. And he doesn't like that. So if we're going to be believers, If we're going to be born again believers, we need to take this word and we need to be born again by the Spirit. We have to take this word of God and let this word of God cleanse us. We have to take this word of God and let this word of God renew us. We have to take this word of God and let this word of God change our way of thinking. We need to read through the Old Testament and see how God felt about sin, how God hated sin, how he hates sin today, how he hates disobedience and rebellion. And if you go to the Old Testament, you will see all throughout the Old Testament how the children of God rebelled against him time and time and time again, how they were looking for a king when they didn't need a king. They had God the Father, but they needed a natural king, and God didn't want them to have a king, but they had a king. And because, and when they got a king, all kind of things started happening. But even then, they were rebellious. God's people were rebellious. And today, in 2012, today is March 19, 2012, and even to this day, God has sent pastors and apostles and evangelists and teachers and elders. He sent all these people, bishops and all these people in the fivefold ministry, and people still don't want to hear the word of God. People still want to sin. People still want to have the title of being born again and being a believer, but still want to live like the world. People still want to do what they want to do when God has sent people. He sent prophets. He sent prophets to tell people about things to come in the kingdom of God. But you got people walking around nowadays prophesying about houses and cars. When God wants us to get our lives together, he wants us to change. He wants us to repent. He wants us to come forth in the word of God, with the word of God, because that's how we're going to change. It's not going to happen by osmosis. Just because you went to the altar and said, I give my life to Christ, or maybe you fell on your knees at your bedside, or maybe you were in your house minding your own business and you said, you know, I just want to give my life to Jesus Christ because I'm tired of living like this. But then you've done nothing else after that. You think it's going to happen by osmosis. You think it's just going to happen, oh, well, I done said that prayer. I done said what they call the sinner's prayer, and now I'm okay. But that's not the end of the story, because let me tell you something. God, he doesn't cohabitate where there is sin. He does not cohabitate where there is sin. God does not like sin, and he's not going to dwell where sin is. So we have to get ourselves together so that we can be a holy vessel, so that we can be a clean vessel, so that we can be a right vessel before God, so that he can accept us when we go to church and when we're in our home and we're praising God, so he can accept our praise. We can't be offering strange fire to God. We can't be offering just anything to God. We can't just take our butts and turn it up to God and say, here, you just take this because this is how I want to live, and I've already accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I'm just still going to live the way I want to live. This is not how we're supposed to treat the true and living God. This is not how a believer is supposed to live. So today what we want to do is we want to go into the book of Psalms, and we want to read Psalm chapter 51. And we had this lesson yesterday in Sunday school. So it's in my Sunday school book, but even beside that, it's in Psalm 51, and we want to read about David. And if my husband would get on the line, I would appreciate for him to get on the line, because we want to talk about how David, he confessed, and everybody talks about this sin, you know, how he confessed this sin in Psalm 51, but David didn't just, okay, I'm just going to confess my sin. He didn't just say, you know, I sinned with Bathsheba and I got Uriah killed and all that, I'm just going to confess my sin. He didn't do that. The prophet had to come to him and give him a scenario, and then he had to say, David, that is you. You're that man. And, honey, if you're listening, will you find that scripture for me where the prophet came to him and said that and told him, you know, you're the man, you're the one that sinned. And a lot of times that's what happened. We look at other people, when we look at their sin, we look at what they're doing and what they're not doing, and we want to tell them what they're doing and what they're not doing. But what about us? We don't want to be the type of David where, you know, he was saying, where the prophet had to come to him and say, oh, you're the man. You're the man that sinned. David knew full well what he was doing. David did not fall into sin. He did not fall into sin. David leaped into sin because he was watching Bathsheba while he was up on the roof, while she was up on the rooftop bathing. He was watching Bathsheba, and David was the king. He could have had any woman he wanted to have, but he wanted Bathsheba. He lusted after Bathsheba. He watched her, the lust of the eyes. He watched her, and he watched her, and he watched her, and he liked what he saw. He liked what he saw, so he went after what he saw. He knew she was married. He knew, hallelujah, that when he went in unto her, that he was committing adultery. He knew this. Now, if Bathsheba had never got pregnant, he might have never, ever, ever confessed his sin before God. But Bathsheba got pregnant. So because Bathsheba got pregnant, King David going to try to do the slick thing and send her husband Uriah to the front line to have him killed. And that's what he did. He had him killed. But he didn't go straight to God and say, God, I'm sorry that I lusted with my eyes and I got Bathsheba pregnant. I mean, I called her into my chambers and had sex with her and got her pregnant, then had her husband killed. He did not do that. He didn't go straight to God and repent of his sin. And that's a lot of times what we do. We will not go to God. We will sin, and we will go to church, and the pastor will call out our sin, or, you know, somebody else will say something to us about our sin, or God will just convict you of your sin. But God wants us to have a heart towards him so much so that when we sin, that instantly we're godly sorry and we turn from that thing. He doesn't want us to wait for the prophet to come to us or the evangelist or the bishop or the pastor to come to us and say, you have sinned. He wants us to know that we sinned and we've done this thing against him immediately. And he wants us to turn our heart away from that sin and come to him, glory to God. In the name of Jesus, that's what he wants. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And my husband just posted this, 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 8. And we're going to read that. The word of God is so important. Sometimes we want to skip over it, but we need to read the word of God because the word of God is life to us. Hallelujah. It's health to our navels. Hallelujah. Marrow to our bones. And we need to read the word of God because the word of God is truth and the word of God is life. Hallelujah. And like I said before I started this broadcast, I said that it's not about Teresa's opinion. It's not about any of our opinions. It's about the word of God. And we want to rightly divide the word of God so that souls might be saved. Hallelujah. And souls might be delivered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that's what it's about. It's about souls being saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to read this, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn to it, and we're just going to read it. And it says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly. Thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the children also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord strake the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. I read all the way down to verse 15, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 15. Now, we just got finished reading this, and I'm going to tell you something. This is something, this is why we need to read the Word of God. This is why we need to get an understanding of the Word of God, because God hates sin. And it doesn't matter who it's in. We used to say this cliche a long time ago. God hates sin, it doesn't matter who it's in. God hates sin, it doesn't matter who it's in. And David was the king, and the verse that I like, right, one of the verses that I just read, when God said to David, if you would have asked me more, if you would have asked me for more stuff, if you would have asked me, if this wasn't enough that I gave you, if you would have just asked me for more, I would have given it to you. If he would have asked God for more, God would have given it to him. But David didn't want more. David wanted Bathsheba because he lusted and was looking at her, and he sinned. Now, this is when the prophet Nathan came to him and said these things to him. After that is when David repented. He did not repent before Psalm 51. And we like to preach that. We like to preach Psalm 51, but we don't like to preach what happened before that. We don't like to preach. We want everybody to act like David was so Mr. Pious and that he was so, you know, oh, wow, well, David was a man after God's own heart. But David, did you see how in the verses he rose up and said, that man's going to pay this back. That man's going to pay this. He got upset because of the thing that Nathan was talking to him. He got upset behind that. But it was him all along that the prophet was talking about. It was him all along that did this evil in the sight of God. But David didn't just go willy-nilly and start repenting. No, he thought everything was good. Everything was cool. Everything was going to be okay because he was King David. And he was a man after God's own heart. And he found favor in God's eyes because God picked him. He picked him out of all of his brothers. So, David, you know, he was the man. And we don't talk about David in that light. Everything, when we talk about David, most of the time you hear this prayer of repentance, but you don't hear about the other stuff. Yeah, well, you hear about Bathsheba, David and Bathsheba, but people try to wash over that. But David sinned against God. He not only, see, the less of the sin started in his heart. He started lusting after Bathsheba with his eyes. It started in his heart. He started lusting over her with his eyes, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and we do not want to talk about the lust of the eyes. That's why people teach us that we shouldn't watch certain things. When I was a little girl and television was coming out really big, people used to call it, what was it, devil vision or sinner vision and all of that stuff. They used to say, you know, TV was of the devil. And this and the third, and you look at television now, and if those old saints of when I was a little girl, if they would come alive right now and see the stuff that's on this television, I'm trying to tell you, they would say, I told you, you shouldn't be looking at that devilision, to looking at that cinevision, you shouldn't be looking at that stuff on that TV, because nowadays all you see on TV is lust, even lust in the commercials. Every time you turn around, just to sell a bottle of soda, it got to be lustful. Just to sell a pack of whatever, it got to be lustful. Even the M&M commercials are lustful. You can't look at anything nowadays without it being lustful. That's why it's so important to be careful what we look at. People say, well, it shouldn't matter what I look at. It shouldn't matter if I look at this and this. It should matter as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it should matter what we look at. We shouldn't be looking at stuff that's full of sex. Sex, talking sex, doing sex, you know, insinuating sex. Even in the cartoons, there are so many things on that we shouldn't be looking at, and I battle sometimes. And sometimes I do thank God that I don't have cable because there are certain things on that my grandchildren want to look at, and it's inappropriate. Some things that they want to say, and when I say something to them about it, they be like, my mom, it's not even really like that. But then again, on the other hand, my granddaughter will say, my mom, well, is this program appropriate? And I'll tell her, no, it's not appropriate. And she said, well, why does so-and-so watch it? Because they don't have the same conviction in their heart about it that I do. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but you have to have a conviction of sin in your heart about certain things. I don't care who you are. I know a pastor who watches these programs, these reality shows, and all they do in these reality shows is curse and fight. How is it that you're sitting there looking at these things, you're telling them to curse
I mean, they're cursing and fighting, but then you're standing on the pulpit preaching holiness. How are you going to have a double mind? You can't tell people to live holy, but you sitting there and watching everything that is unholy and ungodly. Well, you say, well, maybe they're just watching it. They're not acting on it. But if you keep watching that stuff, you're going to look and you're going to see your behavior changing. If you keep watching that stuff, you're going to start compromising and sin's going to enter into your life and you're going to look around and you're going to say, well, how did I get here when I was all the way over there? Because we are letting our eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life come in. And we say, well, you know, I'm so-and-so. I'm King David. I can watch what I want to watch. I can do what I want to watch. I am a child of God. God's going to forgive me. Well, Bible tells us that we're not supposed to have presumptuous sin. We're not supposed to have presumptuous sin. We're not supposed to think about a sin and say we're going to do a certain sin in the future, and then I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Number one, you might not live long enough to get forgiveness, and you might not live long enough to repent of that particular sin or whatever the case is. So you got to get your life right and stop sitting around having presumptuous sin. Stop doing what the world does. And we were talking about this in church yesterday. People just don't want to obey God. People just don't want to obey God. People just don't want to obey God. It's easier to disobey God than it is to obey God, because people say God got a bunch of do's and don'ts. The bottom line is God wants us to live holy, because there is nothing unholy going to be in heaven. It's nothing unholy going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. It's not going to be anything unholy in the new heaven and the new earth. I'm here to tell you today, nothing unholy, nothing unclean is going to the new heaven and the new earth. There's nothing going there that is unclean and unholy. You might as well get it together now. I might as well get it together now that we need to get clean before God and not wait until somebody catches. Nathan said to him, you did this thing secretly. He said, you did it secretly, but I'm going to expose this whole thing to Israel. He said, I'm going to expose this to all Israel. Can you imagine God, your creator? Can you imagine God saying, you did this thing secretly, but I'm about to expose this whole thing? And God did it. God did it. God exposed that thing. That baby died. Surely, as the prophet said, that baby died. That baby died that David and Bathsheba conceived in sin. That baby died, and he said it was going to be a sword unto his whole family. And sure enough, if you read the story, David had nothing but hell in his family. Brother raping a sister. Same brother turning against his father, trying to kill him. All kind of foolishness going on. Now the daughter's all messed up and don't no man want her, because now she's been spoiled. She's raped by her own brother. Now she's out. She's an outcast because of her brother raping her. Her brother, again, the lust of the eyes. Her brother looking at her, lusting after her. He could have had any other person he wanted to have, but he wanted to lust after his own sister. He lusted after, but this was because of the father's sin. The father set this up. David set this sin up to go on into his family, to pass down from him to his children. This is what David did, and we fail to realize that our sin, we're passing our sin on to our children. When we continue to sin before our children, when we continue to do things, we're passing this stuff down to our children, letting them know it's okay to sin. I heard somebody say this morning on one of the broadcasts on Jesus in the Morning, where you get a license to sin? People talking about a license to sin. Where you purchase that at? Where do you purchase a license to sin at? People just sin. People just sin because we're human beings and we sin. But God is calling those that claim to be believers, those that claim to be born again, those that who have said the sinner's prayer or whatever you want to call it, who have conformed to the word of God according to Romans 10:9-10, who have been pricked in their hearts to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Those of us that believe God, those of us that have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of us, not just on us, but inside of us, those of us who know the word of God, God is calling us to repentance. He's calling us to repentance, no matter whether you think your sin is little, whether you think nobody saw your sin, whether you think nobody heard you curse, whether you thought nobody heard you, you know, speaking nasty and mean and evil in the store, no matter whether you stole a little pencil, whether you stole or whatever it was, whether you stole money, whether you stole whatever it was that you stole, God wants us to come to repentance today, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So let us read Psalm 51 and keep in mind 2 Samuel chapter 12 as we're reading Psalm 51. And it says, verses 1 to 15, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Well, he wasn't acknowledging your transgression before the prophet Nathan came. But that's okay, because now he's acknowledging his sin. He's acknowledging it. And sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes somebody to come to us and say, Sister Teresa, you need to work on your attitude. What you just did, that was not right before God. Not in condemnation, but in love. The Bible says if one of our brothers and sisters, if they're overtaken in the fault, and I heard this again this morning on Jesus in the Morning by Bishop August Francis, and if somebody in the chat was saying, if a brother is overtaken in the fault, you which are spiritual, restore them in the meekness and love. Restore them, you that are spiritual, not you that are in the flesh, but you that are spiritual. If you're in the flesh, you're in the flesh just like me. I don't want you, you don't come say anything to me, because you're just as much in the flesh. You just want to tell me off. You've been wanting to tell me off for a minute. Now, this is your opportunity to tell me off. You come to me in the spirit and tell me in the spirit of meekness and in love, because that's what draws people, love. The love of God draws people. So back to David. In verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." I can't see. "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Oh, he was definitely justified, and he was definitely clear when he sent the prophet Nathan to David. He did not mealy-mouth. He went right to him, and he gave him a scenario. He says, "You are the man, David. You are the man." After that, David said, "Oh, yep, it was me. I sinned." See, what I was saying before is that sin begets sin. He's the lust of the eyes. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. There has no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. And you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to Genesis, the book of Genesis, where Eve got caught up because of the lust of her eyes and the lust of her flesh. She would have never eaten that fruit. She would have never eaten that fruit. It looked good to her eyes. Go back and read it. It looked good to her eyes. It was pleasant looking to her. Go back and read it. We just want to talk about she ate the fruit, but it was pleasant to her. And then the serpent comes to her and says, "Did God say?" He put a doubt in her mind. Did God really say that? So we can go back all the way to the beginning and see the lust of the eyes has gotten us in trouble from the beginning. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has taken us but such as is common to man, because God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. David, he was lusting. All he had to do was go in there and pick one of them other wives he had and go in there and sleep with them. All he had to do, if he was horny, excuse me for being wrong, but if that's how he was feeling, he should have went in there and picked one of those other women that he had. Why he had to choose Bathsheba, who was married to one of his great soldiers? He was a good soldier, Uriah was. And you gonna take the man's wife, sleep with her, she gets pregnant, then you gonna kill the man. No, you didn't kill him physically, but you sent him to the front line to get killed, so you killed him. You ordered his assassination. So here's David with his succession of sins that he got built up. He going from one sin to the next, the lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh. He just sitting there. He just sitting there. The longer he's sitting there watching Bathsheba, the more his sexual appetite grows. The more he watches her as she, you know, taking her bath, the more his sexual appetite grows. And instead of him going in the house, minding his business, or going in there get one of them other women he had, he going to sit there and have his way in his mind with Bathsheba, then calls her to his house. They get jiggy with it. She get pregnant. Then he got to kill Uriah. O-M-G. Mm-mm-mm. Thought he got away with it. And that's what we do. We think we get away with sin. Oh, well, nobody know I thought that thought. God know. Nobody saw me steal that. I needed it. Nobody knows that. God knows. Nobody knows I was committing adultery. God knows. Let me tell you something. That, and my husband is on the chat line, and I'm saying this, and I'm saying this is the first time he's hearing it, but I'm saying this. I work in a security. I work security at this particular place in Philadelphia, and at this place, this guy propositioned me to have sex with him. Okay, he was drinking. He had a big old bottle of Wild Irish Rose, and he propositioned me to sleep with him. Now, he asked me, point blank, are you married? I told him yes. I showed him my ring. I said, I don't play that. I ain't looking for nobody. He said, you're the first person that I've asked, do they cheat? And you're the first person that told me no. He said, because everybody else that I've asked in here, they told me they cheat, and I'm going to get them too. Well, I pulled my Bible out of my bag, and I put it up to the window, and I said to him, I am a servant of the Most High God. I am married, and I will not do this to my husband, nor will I do this to the Lord my God. And he backed up like he jumped away, like the demon inside of him was like, oh, no, 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 no. And I said to him, no, you will not come to me that way. I am a woman of God, and I told you that I am married, and I am married. He said, well, you're the first person that has ever said anything like that to me. Now, okay, he was intoxicated, but he knew full well what he was saying. See, alcohol is liquid courage. People say a lot of stuff after they done got drunk because they wanted to say it when they were sober, but they didn't have enough courage to say it. So when they get that liquid courage, they say anything they want to say. But I let him know in the no uncertain terms, I am a child of God, first and foremost. Yes, I am married, but first and foremost, I am a child of God. And I know that Satan is a liar. So when I refuted him, he was like, yeah, I'm going to get you. You're a lie, devil. You're not getting this. You're not getting this. See, I got control over my faculties. I have control over my members. I got control whether I want to fornicate, commit adultery or not. I got control over my members, which is my body. I have control, complete control over my body. And if I wanted to, I could go to work very early, find a spot, and me and him could go and knock it out. Or I could, after work, I could say, meet me over here. But the devil is a liar. Number one, I desire no man but my husband. He is my husband. We've been married for 13 years. I desire no other man but my husband. And I don't look like a dog, but I ain't the cutest thing on the block. But when Satan rears his ugly hair, he don't care what you look like. He just want to come in and wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to make God a liar, and he'll do anything in his power to do it. That's why we got to be on our guard. That's why we got to be on our P's and Q's, because just like David, God will expose that sin. But see, I don't want to bring shame to God. I don't want to be labeled anymore as an adulterer. I don't want to be labeled anymore as an alcoholic. I don't want to be labeled anymore as somebody who is just promiscuous and goes out there and knocks boots with anybody she want to knock boots with. I don't want to be that person, because that's who I used to be. That's who I used to be years ago, but praise God, he cleaned me up. He washed me with the blood of Jesus, glory to God. He gave me a new mind through the word of God, hallelujah. He saved me and set me free, hallelujah. When Jesus went to hell and took the keys to hell, death, and the grave, and he rose up victorious, I rose too. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I rose too. Glory to God. And I'm not saying that to brag and to boast, because every time I give a testimony, here come the devil again trying to tempt me. But he did that with Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness. He tempted Jesus three times in the wilderness, but Jesus said to him three times, it is written. But if we don't know what the word of God says, and we don't know the power that we have residing in us, we will fall to sin. We will fall victim to sin every single time. And sometimes we fall to sin willingly, and sometimes we don't. But most of the times when we sin, we know exactly what we're doing. We know we're a willing participant in sin. You can't tell me you didn't know what you was doing when you were stealing. You can't tell me you didn't know what you was doing when you was fornicating. You cannot tell me you didn't know what you was doing when you was out there lying on somebody and character assassination. You cannot tell me you didn't know what you were doing. Because every time I did it, I knew what I was doing every single time. I knew when I was being seductive. I knew when I was out there doing what I was doing. I did it, and I did it good. I wasn't pretending. I did it well. And the same way when we was in sin, we did sin well. We need to be in the Lord. We need to be in Jesus, and we need to do live for him well. We need to live for him right. We need to do it right. But when we come to God, we want a half step. We want to just, you know, I'm going to give God a little bit of this, and I'm going to give God a little bit of that. But God is requiring more from us this day. He's requiring more from us this day. It's not about a whole bunch of rules of saying, well, don't drink, don't smoke, don't curse, don't fornicate, don't do this. What we should be doing is loving God. And when we come to know God, when we come to love him, I don't mean just know him with head knowledge, but when we come to love him, when we come to love God, we don't want to do anything to hurt him. We don't want to be out there doing things that are wrong. Somebody said, we know right from wrong in the chat room. My husband, we know right from wrong. We choose wrong. We choose to do right, and we choose to do wrong. In the book of Joshua, Joshua told the people, you choose. Choose now this day whom you will serve. If it seems evil in your sight to serve the Lord, you choose this day who you will serve. If it seems evil in your sight to serve the Lord our God, I'm saying this today, I'm putting this out there today on Blog Talk Radio. If it seems evil for you to serve God, you choose this day who you will serve. You choose this day who will, you will serve. Will you serve God or will you continue to serve Satan? Will you serve God? Will you choose him? God is the one that sent his son Jesus. God is the one that sent Jesus to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. God is the one that he loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to be spit on, to be bruised, to have that crown of thorns pushed out in his head. See, we want to only remember that on Easter. But by God, I remember this day to day. Each time I do this broadcast, it brings me to remembrance of what God sent Jesus to do for us. We just want to have a memorial on Easter, but we need to remember that every single day, how they push those thorn crowns on his head and how he was bleeding. You know, if you pick up a rose right now and you stick your hand in that rose bush and you get stuck with a thorn, how you say, ouch, and you might get pricked a little bit and a little bit of blood might come out of you all messed up. But imagine somebody got a crown of thorns. Not just a thorn, a crown of thorns, and pressing it down on your head. And it's going into your skin and into your scalp. Jesus did that for us, a crown of thorns. They was mocking him. Oh, you the King of Kings, let's make him a crown. They made him a crown of thorns and pressed it down on his head. And he did that for us. He let them do it. He let. Don't think that Jesus ain't had no power. Oh, he had power, but he let them do it because that was the will of God. That was the will of God. For that to happen, they put those crown of thorns on him. They spit on him. They mocked him. They took his clothes, and they was bitten on his clothes. They beat him. So they beat him like he was a murderer. So they beat him. They did all kind of things to him for us, for us. Yet we crucify him afresh every time we willfully sin. We crucify him afresh every time we go out and do whatever it is that we do and we know is against God. We crucify him afresh every single time. We go out there and do things that we know God doesn't like. The Israelites, every time you turn around, they were sinning. Every time you turn around, they was murmuring and complaining about something. Every time you turn around, God bless them, they take the blessing, then they turn right around and piss on the blessing. Every single time. How God going to feed you with manna from heaven? How God going to provide food for you every single day? I mean, provide manna from heaven for you every single day. And then he tells you, get enough food on Friday. Get enough food. Or the Sabbath day, so you don't have to do anything on the Sabbath day. Get enough food so you can have food on the Sabbath day. But they murmured and complained and wanted to go back to Egypt. God, you left Egypt with all these riches. You left Egypt. You left Egypt. You want to go back to bondage? You want to go back after God did the miracle and parted the Red Sea for you, walk on dry ground? You want to go back in bondage? You saw God drown all of your enemies. Pharaoh and his army got drowned in the sea. You saw that happen. But yet you get over there and you walking towards the promised land and you complaining and you murmuring, the shoes didn't even wear out. I wish to God I had some shoes that didn't wear out. I wish I had some shoes today that didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't even wear out. But because they murmured and complained, because they were not appreciative of God, because they were not appreciative of the man or woman, the man of God that they had before them, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and nobody over 20 years old went into the promised land. Ain't that some mess? Ain't that some mess? My Lord, my God. Let's finish reading Psalm 51. We know, Lord, have mercy. It says in verse 4, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Minister Desiree, thank you so much for joining us on today. Thank you so much. I thank you, Minister Desiree, Patriot Greg, Dennis Lathan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From Jesus in the Morning. Thank you. And my husband, Bishop Scott, thank you all for joining us. But this thing right here about sin, if anybody would like to get on the phone line, the number is 1-323-693-3054. If you would like to get on the phone line, I will get you in on the phone line. If you have a question, a comment, or anything that you would like to say, I definitely would like to have you come on the line and talk to me, and we can talk about this thing about sin, because once again, it's not about my opinion. It's not about what Teresa thinks. It's not about, you know, well, Teresa has said this. No, it's about the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's about the Word of God. And let me just read something into your hearing right now. Repentance does not carry the twinge of victimization in his voice. When we repent, we are not be acting like we the victim here. Oh, God, I sinned because Bathsheba was up there taking the bath, and if she hadn't have been up there taking the bath and wasn't naked and stuff, you know, then I wouldn't have sinned. I wouldn't have called her to my house, and you know how it is. We men, you know, and you know we can only take so much of seeing a woman naked before we decide to sin. You know, God, you know this me, this how I'm is, and you got to just help me. God, you don't want to hear that victimization stuff, okay? Repentance is not remorse for the consequence of sin. Oh, now I'm sorry because, I done got caught. I'm sorry because I got caught. Nope, that's not it. Remorse because you got caught. What about just plain old having remorse because you sinned against God? What about that? All right, but what actually repentance is sorry for the fact that you disappointed, a holy God, that you disappointed a holy God. Okay, depression, and I'm reading this from a Sunday school book that we have at our church. I'm just reading it from there. I thought it was a good lesson. It said repentance is not the depression-laden guilt fest that many people have either. Repentance is godly sorry. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the word worketh death. Okay, or the world, sorry. The sorrow of the world worketh death. See, we got to sit there and be true before God. God, I did this evil in your sight, and I'm sorry. One thing that I used to teach is that confession of sin and repentance of sin is not the same thing. Can we, anybody in the chat room agree with me that confession of sin and repentance of sin is not the same thing? You can confess your sin all day long. You can sit in other religious settings and sit and talk to the priest, and they can tell you to do 10 rosaries, whatever they call them, 100 or however many they tell you to do. But confession of sin and repentance of sin is not the same thing. Confession of sin is acknowledging that you did that sin. I did it. Yes, God, I did it. But repentance of sin is saying, God, I did it. I'm sorry, God, I hurt you when I sinned because you are a sinless God and you are my Heavenly Father and I hurt you. And God, I'm sorry and I will not do that again. I will not sleep with another woman like I did, talking about David. I will not sleep with another woman like I did and have her husband killed because I got her pregnant. I will not disappoint you again, God. I will not hurt you, God, because I know that when I sin against you and you only. And then not only do you say that with your mouth, but you live your life that way. Now you're not worrying about having to walk around and lust with your eyes. If you got a problem with lust, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Some people got lust so bad that they lust after cartoon characters. Are you crazy? Some people are so bad with the lust that they lust after cartoon characters. People lusting after paper images. You're lusting after a picture of a woman. Man, you're lusting at, in these Playboy magazines, Penthouse magazines. Whatever it is that you're looking at people who have been, their pictures have been retouched, and you're looking at them, lusting at them. They don't know you from a can of paint. They are in that magazine, so that person that's putting that magazine out can make money. They don't care no more about you than they care about a can of paint. All they want you to do is buy their magazine so they can make money. They don't care that their magazine is tearing up marriages. They don't care that their magazines are tearing up relationships. All they're looking at is the Benjamins. They're looking at the dollars. That's all they're looking at so they can line their pockets. They don't care nothing about you being a pastor and lusting and masturbating over women in a magazine or on television. They don't care nothing about women masturbating, looking at these men's magazines, looking at the men on these magazines, naked men. They don't care nothing about your relationship with God. All they care about is their relationship with the God of this world and money, because money is their God, and that's all they're worried about. While you sitting here, pastor, while you sitting here, bishop, while you sitting here, evangelist, while you sitting here, apostle, while you sitting here, teacher, preacher, elder, whatever you want to call yourself, pew warmer, while you sitting there going to hell because you can't take control of your members, you won't read the Word of God, you won't confess the Word of God, you won't go to God who can deliver you from that temptation, you better sit there and allow the temptation to overtake you instead of letting the Word of God overtake you and you abiding by the Word of God. The same thing with sin, every kind of sin, stealing, lying, lustful thoughts. It starts with what you're thinking about. If I were to go out there and commit adultery, it's because I thought about it. If I went out there to steal, it's because I thought about it. If I went out there to do anything, it's because I thought about it. If I choose to sit around and think hateful thoughts, it's because I thought about thinking hateful thoughts. It's my choice what I'm doing. It's your choice what you're doing. But God wants us to stand up and be accountable. He wants us to repent of our sins, and he wants us to live holy. He doesn't want us to wait until a prophet comes like Nathan went to David. He doesn't want us to have to wait until the prophet comes. And then the prophet not only came and told David about his sin, but then he had to speak a word of judgment against him. He had to speak a word of judgment against David. Don't you know that when we sin and we willfully sin, we're going to have to pay? Don't you know that there's a consequence for sin? The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You might not drop physically dead, but you're spiritually dying. The more sin you pile upon yourself and you're not repenting, you're spiritually dead, separated from God, because God does not dwell in sin. And it doesn't matter what title you have on your name, whether you have a title, whether you don't have a title, whether you got the alphabet behind your name, PhD, ABCD, EFG, don't nobody care about that. God don't care about that. God wants you to be clean. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. He wants to purge us. But see, we don't want to abide in the vine. We want to abide in part of the vine. We want to abide in the vine part-time. But see, that's a lie that the devil has set up. You can't abide in God part-time. Either you're in him or you're not. You're either in him or you're not. Time out for this little bit of sin and big sin, a little bit of sin and big sin, a little bit of sin and big sin. Sin is sin to God. Sin is sin. All unrighteousness is sin, the Word of God says. All unrighteousness is sin. You can't cute it up. You can't pretty it up. You can't put up enough makeup on to make that sin any better. You can't put on the best suit that they got for men to make your sin any better. You can't preach the best message in the world to make your sin any better, because while you out there preaching to other people and you still sinning, you still going to have to pay, brother and sister. I'm talking to you. While you out there preaching the gospel, I'm talking to myself too. I could preach on blog talk radio day in and day out, but if I'm sinning, I'm constantly living in sin, constantly dwelling in sin, constantly around sin, constantly making an excuse for my sin. God's spirit ain't going to dwell with this. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your spirit from me, God. I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before thee. Don't take your spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's repentance right there. He knew that he could be casted away from God's presence. God spared his life, but David had hell to pay because of his sin. David had hell to pay because of his sin. God spared his very life, his physical life, but he had hell to pay. But God still said David was a man after his own heart. Don't take that God saying that to David, as David being a man after God's heart, as you could just go ahead out there and sin and keep doing what you want to do, and God going to spare your life. It might not work out that way for you. It might not work out that way for me. We better not take this sin thing lightly. See, sin was so devastating to God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our stead. He took his son, Jesus Christ, to take on our sin. Sin was so devastating to him. The blood of goats and rams and doves and all those animals could not save us. The blood of all those animals in the Old Testament could not save us. They had so many sin offerings, guilt offerings, all kind of offerings that they had to give, and it wasn't working. But God loves us so much that he sent his son. He sent the very essence of himself, his son, to come down here to this earth to take on our sin for us. He sent him to hell. His son went to hell for us. He went to hell for us. How do I know? Because the Bible said he went to hell. He took the keys. He took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. So we don't have to go. But we still, those of us that call ourselves believers, we still walking around living like we ain't never heard of this Jesus. Living like we don't even know what Jesus did. Living like the sacrifice that Jesus gave is of none effect. Like, oh, so what? He went to the cross. Okay. He was the Son of God, or he was God in the flesh. He could do that. It didn't bother him none. Let me tell you something. You ought to be scared if you're making those kind of statements, because guess what? That means what Jesus did don't even matter to you. You ought to repent of saying anything or thinking anything like that, because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Jesus paid it all. Jesus gave his life. He left his home in glory and came down here and gave his life. Because the animal sacrifices wasn't working. It wasn't enough to appease God. It wasn't enough to bring us back into right relationship with God. And yet, we want to acknowledge Jesus on Easter. We want to dress up and go to church on Easter. We want to get Easter eggs and Easter bunnies on Easter. But we should ought to be remembering Jesus every single day. We should be remembering his sacrifice every single day. We should remember that he went to hell and took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. We should remember that he rose again. When he rose victorious. And now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Also, we could be back in right standing with God, the Father, which is in heaven. Also, we want to remember that on Easter. We want to have memorials. We should remember this every day. Maybe if we remember those crowns that Jesus took on his head. Maybe if we remember those stripes and those bruises that Jesus took for us. Maybe if we remember that and keep that constantly in our head, we won't be so quick to sin. My husband had my grandchildren looking at the, what was that movie? Where that actor played Jesus and Gerald, what was the name of that movie? You know what I'm talking about. It wasn't The Last Temptation of Christ. I forgot what it was. But whatever the name it was raw. It was showing how they beat Jesus. I mean, it was not like those cute little pictures you see of a Jesus hanging on the cross and the little blood trickling down the side of his head and where they pierced him in the side, the little trickle of blood coming down. It wasn't hardly like that. Jesus' flesh was coming off his body. The passion of the Christ, thank you. Jesus, his skin was coming off him. They beat that man to a pulp. And maybe if we would remember that, maybe if we would bring that to our remembrance, that he did that for us. And think about how he suffered, bled, and died for us. How he was lied on. How he was cheated. How he was mistreated. And how they let Barabbas go. Who would you want us to let go? This Jesus or Barabbas? They let Barabbas go. He was an actual breaker of the law. He was an actual sinner. He was an actual, it's a word I'm going to use. And I can't think of it right now. But he was in jail justly. He was in jail for a reason. Jesus ain't do nothing to anybody but come and speak the word. He didn't do anything but come and do the will of his Father. And for that, because he told the truth. The people didn't want to come to the light because they love sin rather than darkness. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, is what I meant to say. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I ask you today, is there something you need to repent of? I know me. I've already asked myself that. And if I need to repent, I already know what I need to repent of. But the question to you today is, do you have anything in your heart that you need to repent of? It could be something nobody knows about. It could be something you've never told a soul. It could be something you just did this morning. It could be something that you just thought while we was on the broadcast and said, I wish that woman would shut up because she don't know what she's talking about. It could be something that you've done, something simple, something you didn't do that God told you to do. Maybe you're supposed to be on Blog Talk Radio when you're not doing it because you're scared. Maybe you're supposed to be on the street corner witnessing the people, but you're not doing it because you're scared. Maybe you're supposed to be a pastor, but you're not doing it because you're scared. Maybe you're supposed to be out there laying hands on the sick so they recover, but you're not doing it because you don't want to, because you want to be behind the pulpit, because you want to be doing, you want to be on TV. You want to be, whatever the case is, whatever the sin is, repent. If God told you to go and do something, go do it. Don't wait for chick no child. Go do it, because guess what? When you don't do what God told you to do, you're in sin. All disobedience is sin. It's as rebellion. It's as the sin of witchcraft. Hello? I'm just saying, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to me, because this is just Teresa. That's who I am. But God wants us to come to repentance today. Tomorrow might not be promised to you. The next 5 minutes might not be promised. You might not make it to the end of the broadcast. I don't know. But if you need to repent, see, we want to tell the world to repent. We want to tell the world to get it right. But then here we are, believers, born again. And won't repent. Think we can go in the church building and run from the front of the church to the back of the church, tear the place up, shouting, falling out on the floor, and all of that, and still leave out the church probably in worse condition than when you went there. There's a call to repentance today. There's a call to repentance today. Dennis Latham, there's a call to repentance today. You said the next breath ain't promised, and it sure is not promised to us. The next breath is not promised to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This message is for the believer. This message is for the unbeliever. God is calling us to repentance. Unbeliever, God is calling you to repentance from evil works. Come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Stop serving Satan and come on into Jesus. I got to get to my sister's house because I got to talk to my family. And I got to tell my family, Jesus is waiting for you. He's knocking on your door. He's knocking at the heart, the door of your heart right now, and wants you to become born again. Not because your sister said so, because the God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus. And you don't have to wait till Easter to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait till Easter. You don't have to wait for that. You don't have to wait for a certain time of year. You don't have to wait for Christmas and how people portray Jesus as this baby Jesus in a manger. He's not that baby anymore. Thank you for remembering that he was born in a manger. Thank you for remembering that the wise men brought him gifts. Okay, and thank you for remembering that. But what he wants us to remember now is that Jesus, glory to God, grew up. He grew up, hallelujah. He got up out that manger. He went into the temple and studied the word of God and taught the word of God. Then he went to the cross. He went to the cross. He got beat. He got bruised and wounded for us, for our transgressions and our sins. That's what he wants us to remember, that he did that for us, so that we might have the right to the tree of life. So that we might have the right to the tree of life. Our forefathers already went and ate the forbidden fruit. They went and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we know good and we know evil. But too many of us are still choosing evil. God wants us to choose the good. If it seems evil unto you to serve God, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seems evil unto you to repent, you choose this day who you will serve. If it seems evil unto you to confess your sin and turn away from your sin, if it seems evil to you, you choose this day who you will serve, because really, in reality, what you have already done is you have chosen. If you refuse to repent, if you refuse to see sin the way God sees sin, if you refuse, then you have already chosen your master. You have already chosen Satan as your master. If you refuse to repent, if you refuse to conform to the word of God, if you refuse to be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God, if you refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and help you to mortify the deeds of your flesh, if you refuse to do that, and if it seems evil to you to turn to the true and living God, you choose this day who you will serve. And you suffer the consequences of that choice that you made. You choose this day who you will serve, whether it be God or whether it be Satan. You choose this day who you will serve. God is such a godly, he's such a godly God that he gives you a choice. He's giving you free will. You can choose who you want to serve. You can choose who you want to serve. But as my voice goes forth over these airwaves today, I offer you Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I offer you Jesus Christ today so that you can come to God the Father in righteousness and true holiness. I offer you Jesus today because Jesus died so that you might be set free, because the word of God says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I offer you Jesus today. I offer you the chance at repentance right now. I offer you the chance at repentance right now. I offer you right now. Right now, as you listen to this song briefly, listen, because there's no God like him.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Who can touch like you,
yeah,
or heal us like you do?
Christ. There's only one. If you know there's only one, make some noise. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
There's only one.
If you know there's only one, make some noise.
There's no one like you.